It's a blessing to see everybody this morning. Got a good crowd today. We thank you for choosing to be with us today. What an honor and blessing it is to live in a land that we can come and worship God any way we see fit. Thank God for this opportunity today. I want to thank the Lord for the privilege to minister His Word. I ask the Lord many times each week. I'm humbled every time I stand in this pulpit because I don't deserve to be here because I haven't accomplished anything or done anything worthy, even close to what Jesus did, but He loves us. So every time you see me up here, it's a symbol of God's grace because He loves us enough to look beyond our faults and see our needs. And I know God loves this church because as I pray to Him, He continually speaks to me. And I want to say this, I thank God that I serve a God that can speak to you. Now, I've never heard Him audibly, I've never heard Him like that, but I do hear Him in my heart. And I know God speaks to us concerning this church because I don't have what it takes to do what it needs to be done, but God does. I don't have the words to say, but He does. And so each and every week I try to give you what I know in my heart is what He would have me to share with you. And this week, for the last several weeks, I want to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, and that's going to be a very familiar scripture to those of you who study the Word. But as I begin this message today, I want to talk about the land of the unknown. It's a scary place. It's a place that requires journey. It's a place that every one of us at one time or another are called to go there or led to go there. And sometimes we don't enter in this place because it is unknown. No matter what we say in our life, fear is a part of our lives because we fear the unknown. What if? Wonder what's going to happen here. And every one of us have to deal with that. Our God's a big God. A God, the Bible says, He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the A to Z in everything that we ever hope to be. That's what God is. So God never leads us on a path that, number one, He's not with us. He's always with us. He never leaves us. We know that. We've learned that all our lives. But still, there's that human factor that every one of us have to deal with, the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going around the curve? The land of the unknown. But I believe that if we're ever going to accomplish anything for God, and I want you to get this, it's going to be in the land of the unknown. In the land of the unknown, there's all types of possibilities. In the land of the unknown, there's opportunity. In the land of the unknown, it's when we really get to see how big our God is. Many of us fear the land of the unknown because we only know a God that is big as we are. And if we can't figure it out, then that's where we stop. If we're not moving forward today, then we are basically moving backwards. We've heard that all our lives. But one of the reasons that we halt is because God calls us to the land of the unknown and we don't know it. It's unknown. So we get scared and we just stop. In the book here in Genesis, God leads us, talks about a man by the name of Abraham. Now what I love about the Bible is the Bible is written by men who were just ordinary men. They weren't supermen. As we read a lot of times, we say, wow, great men as they are. But when you really begin to look into their lives, they had problems just like you and I do. Moses had a drinking problem. Peter had a cussing problem. David had a woman problem. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Everyone in the Bible had problems. So what makes them great? What made them great is that they were willing to go into the land of the unknown. Now, let me read this to you. This is about Abraham, and you that study the word know all this already. But for reference sake, look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred," in other words, your family, "get out of the box." And he said, "from thy father's house," look at the next part, "unto a land that I'll show you." Unto a land of the unknown. Now, Abraham was just an ordinary man, just like you and I. Actually, he was well stricken in years, the Bible talks about. But God used him because he was willing to go in the land of the unknown. How much could God do with you in your life today if you're willing to go in that land of the unknown? I come across some beautiful things in my study over this, and I wrote some of them down so I could share them with you. This is one I wrote down. I want you to get it. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for extraordinary. You see, any time that you are challenged to go into the land of the unknown, it's going to take one thing dominant, and that is courage. It takes courage to step up. It takes courage to step out. And here's one for you. It takes courage to take a risk. You'll never accomplish extraordinary until you're willing to step out on courage and take a risk. One of the things we do when we're looking at our lives, we say, "God, I want to do anything you want me to do. Just tell me what you want me to do, God." If I was to ask you this morning and say, "Has God been good to you?" Every one of you say, "Sure, he's been good to me." And if God asks you to do anything, would you be willing to do it? "Oh, yes, I'd be willing to do it." And then he'll ask you to do something. You say, "Accept that, God. I'll do anything except that." You want to know why? Because when God calls you to move forward, it always calls for risk. The Bible says that the just shall live by Wall Street Journal. Isn't that what it said? It doesn't say that. The just shall live by faith, trusting in God. This month is Black History Month, and Dr. King had his birthday a couple of weeks ago, and a lady that stands out in my mind, I think about the courage that it took to change things, was a little lady by the name of Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was just an ordinary lady, just an ordinary lady taking a bus ride. But her life was just as valuable as anybody else's life. And I'm sorry for a lot of things that's happened over in the history of our nation, because nobody is better than anybody. Amen? And Rosa Parks one day, she was tired, and she says, "You know what, I'm not getting up this time. I'm going to sit right here." A single act of courage made her name an icon for the civil rights movement. I think about our nation, and I'm proud to be an American today. I love history because in the beginning of this nation, there were men who believed in America. Declaration of Independence. You remember the men that sat down and wrote that out and took their lives in their own hands because they were willing to take a risk to change the nation. I think about men like Martin Luther, a man who studied and really he broke away from the Catholic Church because he believed in the Word, and the Word taught a doctrine of justification by faith. And he wrote a thesis and nailed that thesis to the door of the cathedral because he believed that God created all of us to live under grace, and no one should be judged for what they've done or where they've been, but God loves us all on the same level. How many of you know that? And we're all saved by grace. It's not of works lest any man should boast, but Martin Luther said, I believe that, and I'm going to stand for that in the 16th century. What are you willing to stand for today? What are you willing as God calls you to the land of the unknown? I want to tell you this. The unknown takes courage. If you don't have courage, I want you to get this. Nothing is ever accomplished without courage. Nothing is ever accomplished without courage. The Bible is a book of ordinary people becoming extraordinary because of courage. Do you believe that God has called us to help change people's lives? Do you believe that God has called us to be a light in a dark world? And the way we're going to do that is not saying that we're better than anybody, because we're not. It's not to say that we don't have any faults or failures, because that's not true. But it's willing to take God at His word. And when God says step out, you step out. I think about the courage it took that day to stand in front of an ocean with a stick in your hand. And God said throw the stick in the water. And it became an extraordinary event. Because of courage, Abraham, there's several men in the Bible that I want to make reference to one minute. Abraham, because he was willing to step out into the unknown, has been called the father of faith. What does that mean? He's not, our faith is not in Abraham, our faith is in God, but God is saying this is a model here that I want you to understand, that when you're willing to hear my voice, and you're willing to listen to that voice, and you're willing to obey that voice, I will call you the extraordinary. People like Joseph. You remember Joseph? He was sold by his brothers. Just an ordinary man. Just a man trying to live right for God. He was sold before his brothers. And as I got into this, I didn't realize this, but there were 10 brothers, symbolizing the 10 tribes of Israel, that God called this man. Listen, Joseph had the courage to forgive his brothers. Is that awesome? Men like Moses, who were called to go back into Egypt because of courage. Men like Joshua, who were saying, we're going to cross this Jordan, follow me. We're going to obey God because of courage. David, a little teenage boy, standing in front of a giant called Goliath, who was not just a giant, but he was a seasoned military official. He was a warrior, and David was just a little fella, but he had courage. And he told that giant that day, that's what I love, he told that giant, it's one thing to get whooped, but it's another thing for the man to tell you how he's going to whoop you. Amen? Come on, y'all. That's Wayne County knowledge right there. I'm going to do this to you. And then he does it. Amen. That's what David did. And David whooped him and cut his head off. He stepped out because of courage. I think about the other Joseph. He had a beautiful young girl sitting on a donkey, and she's pregnant. They ain't got married yet. And he had to have the courage. Listen, Joseph had to have the courage to take the risk. I'm going to believe what God said. Your girlfriend's pregnant. She's telling you God did it. I ain't been with nobody. God did this. Hello? I mean, come on, y'all. Here's how we're going to respond. I know God could, but... but he took the risk. I think about Jesus going back into Jerusalem. Don't you go in Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. They're going to do this. They're going to do it. I'm going back in there. We got an awesome God. You know that? I think about Paul, who had everything, but gave it all up to get on a boat and sail around the Mediterranean to step out and to do what God says. Now, I could go on and on this morning, and you know, we read these stories. This is where we're at this morning. We read these stories, and we get so inspired. And then we shut the book, and we put the Bible back down on the table, and we say, yeah, but I've just got an ordinary life. My life is a life that's ordinary. How can I do any of this? God calls every one of us to face the unknown. Without faith, it's impossible, the Bible says, to please God. I come across this saying. I wrote it down. I want you to get it. It said, leaders rarely regret risk they take. Leaders rarely regret risk they take, but they always regret the opportunities they missed. How would it be for you to sit here today and say, if I'd only believed God, if I'd only trusted God? What is your story this morning? God was leading me to do so and so, and I just weighed it all out, and there was no way in the world that I could do that. And so I just politely told God, God, isn't there something else I can do? You see, when we do that, we miss out on everything God's got. I got four things I'm going to leave with you this morning. There's a difference in risk and opportunity. The difference in risk and opportunity is one word: courage. Courage is that confidence to take the first step. I look back over my life over the years of ministry, and God would lead me to do things, and I'll be scared to death. And I'll admit to you, there were times I didn't do it. There were times I reneged on that because I weighed the cost myself, and I was telling God what I can do and what I can't do. With God, all things are possible. Every one of you sitting here today are not ordinary people. You are extraordinary people because you got God on your side, and with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Four things I want to leave with you about courage. Four things that it takes for that first step. Number one, the courage to stay. The courage to stay when it would be easier to leave. You see, we follow God in a way that we really battle with comfort. Every one of us love comfort. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't. I love comfort. We all love it because that's the nation we were raised in. We're just Americans, and we've been blessed in America. And we all love comfort. And the very moment that the cable TV goes out, it's on then. What in the world am I going to do? What did our grandmas and granddaddies do? When the lights go out, we just sit there and look at one another until it gets dark, then we can't see one another. I mean, we're blessed with comfort. Every one of us love that. And sometimes we follow God based on comfort, and when it gets a little rough, we begin to back up and we say, God, I don't know about that. Let me pray about that. You know, a lot of times some people want, why don't they just say no? They say, well, let me pray about it. Because it sounds real spiritual, you know. Let me pray about that. And the whole time, you're in your mind saying, I ain't going to do that. Amen. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't come running to the altar yet. Amen. I'll give you that in just a minute. It's easier to leave. Circumstances say go. Circumstances say, man, I tell you what, you're over here. Don't you worry about this no more. You just need to go. And then you pray about it, and God says, stay. One writer put it this way, and it was so beautiful, and I hope I don't ever forget it. If you ever start running, you'll never stop running. If you ever start running from God, you'll never stop running. Because you'll always have an excuse of why you shouldn't do it. So that's the courage to stay. Then flip that. The second thing is the courage to leave. Would it be easier to stay? Maybe God's got you in a comfortable place, and God's got you in a place that it's took you a while to get there. And the circumstances that you're in right now are so comfortable. And you wouldn't even think about leaving. But God says, I want you to leave. The courage to leave when it would be easier to stay. One thing that we got to remember in our lives, if we're ever going to be fruitful, please get this, is that our lives are not our own. We belong to God. When I stand before God, and everything I have, whatever it might be, is nothing without Him, because He is the one who gave it. Amen? The car I drive, the house I live in, the job I have, the groceries on my table, all the blessings that I have in my life, they came from God. They didn't come from anywhere else. Preacher, I disagree with that now. I got out there and I worked hard and I built what I built. And you know what? Who gave you the wisdom for that? Who gave you the knowledge for that? Who told Edison to walk out there one day in a thunderstorm and develop electricity? Who told him to do that so that we could come in and turn the lights on? Amen? Not like Little House on the Prairie when you got to burn up everything to see. You know? Who told us? God did that. God did that. And we owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. Now, God believes in hard work. I believe God wants us to work hard. I don't believe the Bible teaches us that a man that don't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. That's what the Word says. Amen? But if you get out there and realize that God is the one who is your source. I've told you this a million times. Let me make it a million and one. God, our job is our source. Our job is our resource. God is our source. Sometimes it'd be easier just to stay. The third thing, the courage to get help when it's easier to pretend. You know why it's hard to get people moved today? Not just church, but anywhere. Because people don't really feel like they need anything. Now, y'all have alarmed me by now. I'm just going to be real with you. But people come to church and the first thing that they kind of put on themselves is, I'm good. I'm certainly good as him sitting beside of me. Look to the one beside of me and say, I'm certainly good as you are. Amen. Y'all ain't going to do it now. Y'all ain't going to do it now. But you think that, you know. I don't know. I love these people to walk out and say, boy, preach short tone on somebody today. Amen. He sure got somebody. I'm good. You know, I'm good. Amen. Oh, Lord. The courage to get help when it's easy to just pretend. I don't need no help. I'm not rebelling. I just want my way. I'm not bucking God or doing anything. I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it. So we just pretend in the life. The devil really loves us to perform. And it's sad to say, but a lot of churches are performance today. The curtains go up and everybody's in their place and everybody does their thing and nobody's asked God for nothing. I was talking to some ministers the other day and I said, you know what bothers me is that nobody seeks God's will no more. It's what it looks like. You know what I'm saying? So the courage to get help when it's easier just to pretend. And I want you to understand this morning, I want you to understand, we need to fear the consequences of concealment rather than confession. What does that mean? It's easier to hide something in our heart. We call it secrets that just me and God know. Nobody else knows. That's okay, because you and God know. But God wants you to take that thing and say, Lord, I need some help. Lord, I need some help. Families would be better today if the husband and wife would realize that I need some help. God does not get offended when you say, God, I need some help. I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with this, God. I'm struggling with this or that, the other. And when God tells you to do something, it's okay to tell God, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm struggling with that. Rather than to cover it all up and pretend. God don't want you to pretend to be anything. He wants you to be real. Amen? And being real is versing your likes and your dislikes. Coming to a knowledge of saying, you know, this bothers me and I really need help with it. God is not ashamed of you no matter what you're going through. God is not ashamed of you. He loves you. And He's willing to walk through the valley with you. Whatever it takes. Then the last thing this morning. The courage to submit. The courage to submit. When it would be easier to stand up in pride. It takes courage to submit. Here's Abraham. He's old. His wife is old. Now God's calling them to go into another chapter of their life. He could have said, you're going to have to get somebody else. I'm tired. And I guarantee you, everybody, if I poll this audience today, I guarantee you that every one of you here are tired in some way. You may be tired mentally, physically, spiritually, or all three. And you know what? We're living in a very turbulent time. We're living in a very pressing time. And God understands when you get weary. The Bible says, be weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. So God understands that there's weights on you right now. But when you take those weights to God and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my failures. I'm sorry for messing up. That's why when I stood up here at the beginning of the service today and I talked about grace of God, God's grace is more sufficient than anything else you need in life. Amen? God wants you to submit. God is calling you today to listen. How do you submit? Let me give you this real quick, and then we're going to sing a song. How do you submit? Number one, you listen. You listen. You learn to listen to God. I want to challenge you in the morning when you get ready to go to work. I want you to turn the radio off, turn the CD off, turn the phone off, whatever you got to turn off. And I want you to drive to work, however how long it takes you to get there. I want you to listen. Now, it's going to be weird to start with because we like noise, don't we? You ever going in the house? I've told you this before. You ever going in the house, first thing you do is turn the TV on and you don't even look at it. You turn the TV off and you go to the bedroom, you change clothes, but you just want to have some noise. Too quiet in here. Amen? About like y'all are right now. Real quiet. But we like noise because noise occupies and we don't have to think so much. But sometimes God wants you to learn to listen. And as we listen, God will start pointing you in the direction of the land of the unknown. God, I don't want to go there. But let me tell you, son, if you just listen to me and just obey me, I'll teach you some things. I'll show you that in the land of the unknown, there's everything you need. To be everything that you want to be. I'll take you from ordinary to extraordinary. What story are you going to tell? When you stand before God in the coming days and God says, what did you do for me? What are you going to tell Him? What are you going to tell Him? Remember this. A single act of courage is often the catalyst for the extraordinary. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and I don't have my bulletin. What page?
391.
391. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. As we sing this song, verses 1 and 2, I want you to know this altar's open this morning. And this altar's open for you, whatever you need, whatever you're going through. If you want people to pray for you, there'll be somebody here to pray for you. And we're going to sing this first and second verse. I surrender all. Okay. This morning. Shared your word this morning, Father, and we have declared your word as you have given it to us for this beautiful congregation. We ask you, Lord, that they will check their hearts this day and whatever needs they might have. Let them know, God, that you're always ready and able and willing to listen to them and to help them. And God, as this song says, we surrender it all to you, Lord, all our fears and all our faults and everything we surrender to you, God. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Ronnie, one more thing. We got a young man visiting with us this morning.
Oh, Grayson. Grayson. Glad to have you, Grayson. Let's give Grayson a hand this morning. Amen. God bless you.